Just going back over this past week, I suppose the key events were really still signs that the US economy has got quite a bit of life in it. We saw that from the July retail sales data. They were up more than expected by 0.7% in the month of July. Market was looking for 0.4% there. Previous month was revised up from 0.2 to 0.3 as well. Compare and contrast that with Australia, where obviously retail sales are much softer here than they're showing in the United States. We had a little bit of life too in some of the housing indicators. We had housing permits and housing starts. Housing permits lifted by 0.1%, admittedly after a fall the month before. And housing starts are up by 3.9% in July. And the weekly initial jobless claims came down a bit to 239,000 from 250,000. We had one or two other indicators which were all over the place. So we had, for example, New York State PMI, the Empire State Survey, for the month of August. That went from plus 1.1 to minus 19. That looks very soft, but down the coast, we had the August Philadelphia Fed survey looking at exactly the same thing, went in exactly the opposite direction, from minus 13.5 to plus 12. We also had the National Association of Home Builders Index for August, and that came down to 50 from 56. So, a bit of mixed data through there. But capping all of this was really the FOMC minutes. And what the FOMC minutes showed was that whilst they're encouraged by the way the inflation's come back, they still feel that there's some sticky inflation in the system. And what came through loud and clear in there was that even if we do get to a point where we can say there's a cap in rates in the US, there's no opportunity to bring those rates down for a long time to come. And you could see that reflecting into realization in the longer-term bond yields, where we've had longer-term bond yields which are settling at a much higher rate now than we thought likely going back a few months ago. And so, even if we get into a regime where we've got a soft landing, the problem with soft landings is that they can be not just a soft landing, but too soft a landing, and that still keeps this pressure on rates that's going to be going for quite a while to come. We'll hear more about this week, because we have the annual big conference for central bankers at Jackson Hole. Jackson Hole Symposium comes up on Thursday and Friday this week, and so all the major central bankers will be talking at that, and obviously it'll be the stickiness of inflation, tightness of labour markets, and all these sorts of issues which will be discussed there. If anything, I think what comes out of Jackson Hole will be further confirmation that we simply can't expect interest rates to be coming down at any time in the near term. Looking at some of the other data that's coming out of the US, there's not a lot of it this week ahead of the Jackson Hole Symposium. We've got things like existing home sales, new home sales. If they reflect what we saw in housing permits and starts, they're probably going to be slightly up. We get some purchasing managers' reports, the old-style ones for the month of August. The manufacturing PMI on the old-style surveys at 49 is probably going to be into the 48s, 49s still. So below the 50 expansion contraction marker for the month. And the services sector PMI was at 52.3. That's probably still going to be in the low 50s, showing that you've still got some strength running through the services side. Just looking towards China, and it was an interesting week in China, really, on many fronts. You can see the struggle that China's got now to get any sort of good momentum going through economic activity. Essentially, the long-term problem in China is that savings are still way, way too high in the household sector and mitigate against what they need over the long term, which is their own domestic spending, particularly retail spending, to provide most of the impetus to economic growth. There's no sign of that change occurring. Still, Chinese households, very, very high savers. And so, you know, the old things that they used to poke to get Chinese growth really stirring along, which was, you know, get government spending into fixed asset investment, or, you know, rely on the rest of the world to give you a really strong surge in exports, well, of course, you know, they're fading too. So we saw that in the data that came through in the month of July. And in July, fixed asset investment spending, it was at 3.8% year on year. Going back to June, it fell to 3.4%. Yeah, that was unexpected. At least hoped it might hold up at 3.8%. Industrial production, same story. It was at 4.4% year on year. Going back to June, that moderated to 3.7% year on year. And the one that, you know, is really sort of worrying is retail sales. It was at 3.1% year-on-year. That was hoped that might accelerate a little bit. Above 4, it came down to 2.5% year-on-year. And you know, some of the pressure points from some of the earlier policy changes were coming out big time last week. You know, we had some bankruptcies running through some of the property companies, just showing the fragility of you know, credit in China, if anything. And it certainly frightened the People's Bank of China because, and again, they don't do much, but they cut their one-year rate by 15 basis points after all that data came out, and brought it down to 4.05% from 4.2%. You know, that seems to be the policy response at the moment. PBOC meets again this week, and you know, we might get a tweak at some of the other rates as well. Through this week, but nothing much more than that, and that's problematic. It's going to be very, very hard for China to lift the pace of economic activity. Obviously, there's a lot of pressure on them to make some big announcements on spending or whatever, but it's simply not working because the rate of return on asset on investment in China is now very, very small. This is, you know, China. This is Japan revisited from the 80s and the 90s, and so it's you know, it's very, very difficult now to stir this economy into life. Moving to Australia, and last week, you know, we had two really interesting reads which suggest that the labour market may have reached some sort of inflection point to move weaker, because both the key indicators that came out last week, that was the wage price index for the second quarter and also the labour force reading, were both softer than expected. And in the case of the wage price index, you know, we were expecting that to be up 1%. In Q2, it was up 0.8%. As a result of that, annual growth in wages came back to 3.6 from 3.7. Obviously, there will be some acceleration in wages in the second half of the year because, you know, many of the big wage changes took effect from July the 1st, whether it was the aged care settlement, 15%, or whether it was, you know, the minimum wage case, which was a high settlement as well. All of those, you know, so we'll lift things a bit, but there's more chance now that wage growth will top out a little bit above 4%. And what that means is there is more chance now that, you know, we may have reached the top in terms of interest rate hikes here. So, you know, the Reserve Bank at least is in a position to continue holding at 4.1% through probably the next 2 months, until it gets a more comprehensive read on whether, you know, this is the beginning of the downturn as far as the labour market is concerned. There's some reason to believe that it probably is, because, you know, we've seen a lot of weakness running through retail sales here. That's where we're so different from the US. We're a way more interest rate sensitive economy, short-term interest rate sensitive economy than the US is, and is obviously you know, dealing quite a blow to retail spending here. And they are starting to trim staff in some cases. And so, you know, these are big employers, and we know that we've got trimming of staff running through part of the finance sector as well. So, you know, this is offsetting some of the areas where there's still a lot of tightness running through the labour market. And we had the labour force data, and, you know, these are bouncy, can be bouncy on month to month, but, you know, we did get a fall in employment of 14,600. That was unexpected. We were expecting a rise of 15,000, and it was certainly against the trend of the previous 2 months where we had strong rises. we had a little bit of a downturn in the participation rate to 66.7 and 66.8. And importantly, the unemployment rate lifted from 3.5% to 3.7%. That's still a comparatively low unemployment rate, but it's getting somewhat higher and is giving some, if we keep 3.7 and keep moving higher on that unemployment rate for a few months, that will be taking some of the long-term pressure out of wages. So that's where the two data reads last week really were very, very important. Wait and see, and it's waiting to see whether we get confirmation that this softness is continuing. But at the very least, it means that you're not likely to get anything from the RBA over the next month or two. Unless things turn, and if they don't turn around and we get further weakness running ahead, we get caught at 4.1%. We also had the RBA minutes last week, and the indication there is much like the Fed, and that is even if it was a very line ball call, and they went through chapter and verse of the case for hiking and the case for leaving rates on hold, but what came through loud and clear through the RBA minutes was we're going to be stuck with rates at this level or higher for a very long time. Now, this goes against some of the calls which are out there amongst the banks in particular, saying, oh, no, we'll be easing rates early next year or by the middle of next year. That's certainly not the tenor of the RBA minutes at this point. I should also mention the Reserve Bank of New Zealand. They also held their cash rate at 5.5% in their most recent meeting last week. We are getting to the tops on some of these rates, but it's now the stickiness of the rates which is impacting the longer-term rates in the curve. Now, Australia this week, we really haven't got too much this week. We've had a lot of talk coming out of the Labor Party conference. Some of this later this week we'll get the intergenerational report, and the Treasurer's making a lot of we need to find $140 billion almost year in, year out to cope with the cost of the NDIS, the ageing of the population, all these things. They're also going to be doing some 40-year forecasts. Well, good luck with that. We can't even get the one-year budget forecasts even remotely accurate. So really, it's cloud cuckoo land to produce this stuff. And the 40-year forecast is just nonsense. But we'll go through the nonsense and we'll do it at the end of the week. It's one of the things that we waste a lot of time on these days. But it will mean next to nothing. Now, Europe last week, and we had a number of reads. Europe's just holding out of recession. So we had Q2 GDP. No revision. It was still plus 0.3%, same as the early reading, 0.6% year on year. And it's largely services, tourism that's been just going gangbusters through Europe, which is helping to keep things up. We had their trade balance. They're doing well on trade as well. They went from a very small trade deficit to a massive trade surplus of 23 billion euro in the most recent month of June. We also had their CPI came out. It's coming down, but not dramatically. So in July, this is a preliminary reading for July, CPI came down year on year to 5.3% from 5.5%. The core CPI, though, is stuck at 5.5%. So this stickiness of inflation is still a theme that's running through Europe. And still we're looking for more rate hikes out of Europe and UK in particular. But they may be the last bastion of where these pressure points are coming through. This week in Europe, not a lot of data. We've got manufacturing PMIs, services sector PMIs, much like everywhere else. Manufacturing PMIs are weak. It'd probably be around 42.4 for the manufacturing PMI, actually quite soft. The services sector PMI are above 50, not much above 50, but at least holding up there. And August consumer confidence coming out too. But other than that, sort of fairly quiet as far as the data coming through in Europe. But it's that continuing story. Jackson Hole, I think, is going to be the big thing that they'll refocus on this week. and the central bankers as they meet there. And it's just these market moves which are running through. And the one that's probably important for the next year or two is that the likely average 10-year bond yield rate in most countries is going to be staying pretty high relative to where we've been in the past. And that, of course, makes a difference to pricing of most other assets. So just watching those developments as they continue. Not much reason why the long bond yield should go too much higher, but most of them are in the US and here. It now looks like we're getting stuck with a 4 on the front of it rather than getting back into the 3s.